Support for Jazzed About Work comes from Ohio University's online master's degree in sustainability, security, and resilience. Does your organization or community have a workable plan for when a catastrophe strikes? This 18-month online degree program will give you the skills you need to prepare for, respond to, and recover from natural disasters and other crises. Participants earn 3 stackable certificates in community risk and resilience, change management and leadership, and planning resilient systems, leading to a full master's degree. Students learn cutting-edge skills in sustainability assessment and entrepreneurship, sustainable agriculture, energy policy, and more. This is an exciting, growing field, and no GRE test is required to apply. For more information, follow the link in the description on this podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jazzed About Work, where we talk about everything that might have an impact on your career. I'm your host, Bev Jones. I'm an executive coach, and I write about how you can get the most from your work life. Today, we're talking about something that might make a difference in your career, and that's the way you manage your social media. Our expert guest, Giselle Ugardi, is an entrepreneur, an advertising guru, and a social media coach. She believes in the power of video messages, and she has almost 300,000 followers on TikTok. Giselle will talk about the importance of social media to your career, no matter where you are on your professional path, and she'll suggest ways to get more comfortable with your social platforms. She'll describe how video is an increasingly important way to connect with other people, and how video clips may supplement or take the place of traditional resumes. And she'll give you tips for becoming more confident on camera, even if you think you look too old, or unsure of yourself, or just not stylish. Giselle, thank you so much for being with us here today. I have a lot of questions myself, and I imagine our listeners do too, and I'll try to ask on their behalf about TikTok and video and how social media is changing so quickly for people who don't even know they need it. But before we get into all of that, our listeners, I know, always love to hear career stories, particularly from entrepreneurs. And it feels like you've done a lot of things to get to this point where you have such a huge social media following. Would you tell us a bit about your career path and what you're doing now and how you got there?
Sure. I mean, the short of it is that I started my current businesses in the middle of the pandemic from my kitchen table by myself with very little money. And it was one of those things where everything in hindsight all of a sudden made sense. And what I do now is I work with everyone from executives to everyday people, and I help you to have a healthier relationship with social media. And I coach you to figure out confidence online and especially off. Because you're right, social media is growing at a very rapid pace and it feels really hard to keep up, and it can seem extremely overwhelming. And there are a lot of misleading headlines and clickbait that are making us think that, you know, AI is going to replace us and the kids are in danger. And in reality, we're actually seeing a lot of patterns in communication repeating themselves. And I want to humanize every single interaction, and I want to use these technologies to actually build more meaningful relationships with each other and hopefully equalize the playing field to allow people to explore their passions or maybe even grow or start or build businesses or simply perhaps meet or see people that they never would have in real life. And how it all came together was I went to USC for college. I wanted to be in entertainment news or news or in front of the camera. I wanted to tell other people's stories. And as it turns out, no one really cared that I had a degree from a top journalism school because in the world of entertainment, it was an audition process. It was kind of like being an actor. You needed to have an agent. You needed to go to a casting call. You needed to be able to audition really, really well. And those were not skills that I developed or connections that I developed in college. And so someone gave me the advice that if I wanted to be on camera, if I wanted to tell stories, if I wanted to be on the news, that I should learn how to do everything in and around my craft. And I think that regardless of what your passion is, that that is awesome advice. If you're wanting to pursue something new, even if it's a side hustle, learning a lot of little things in and around what it is that you're wanting to do. And that helped me to get my foot in the door in terms of whether it was being someone's production assistant or being hired as a writer or an editor. But I also ended up investing in a used camera, I think off of Craigslist. And I began putting videos up on this tiny little platform called YouTube. Have you heard of YouTube, Bev?
Yes.
And this was 15 years ago. And at the time, a lot of people hadn't heard about YouTube. I had to explain to people what YouTube was. I had to explain to people what a vlog and a blog were, which were platforms for me to show videos that were sharing my day. And my blog was an online place for me to create articles when at the time no one was paying me to write articles. And I was putting videos on this platform, honestly thinking, Bev, that nobody would see these videos, which is funny now because a lot of people now upload YouTube hoping that they're going to go viral. They're going to be famous. They're going to make $1 million. I just wanted to get practice because I was so green and so vanilla and so insecure. And what ended up happening was, one, I ended up finding this world of these extraordinarily average teenagers who were creating videos in their dorm rooms. And they had hundreds of thousands, in some cases, millions of subscribers. And nobody was talking about it. But also what I just did not understand was the fact that all of a sudden, you have these people who are tuning in to watch them and they are imperfect and they are stuttering and they are rambling and they're not wearing makeup. This is going against every single thing that I had learned about being on camera, where I thought you're supposed to be polished and perfect and concise and say every single word right and be camera ready and skinny and thin. So there was that piece. But then there was the other part of, here I was trying to claw and fight my way into audition rooms. And also at the time, Bev, 15 years ago, I had to send people my portfolio in a manila envelope that cost about $25 to ship and that could potentially end up in somebody else's trash can. But then what I realized was, wait a minute. I can copy and paste a link to a custom video that I record specifically for that person. I can put it into an email where I know directly that person's email address. And I could even potentially use a tracking link where I can see if they clicked it or if they watched it and how many times. And that's really what it's about, is it's not about getting in front of as many people as possible. It's about getting in front of the right people. And that's from the business lens how I help my clients. But here's what I also end up finding out, Bev, is that a lot of people come to me and they think what they want is help with social media, or they think what they want is, help getting more followers or more views. But what ends up happening is they actually need confidence, believing that what they have to say matters. Because I have worked with brand new baby students or business owners who have no sales experience whatsoever, and I've worked with billionaires. And in both situations, both types of people have imposter syndrome, and they wonder if this season of life for other people or if their story is actually relevant. And so that's how I'm able to combine my experience, where I was pursuing this career in TV hosting and trying to get in front of the right people and the right casting directors and the right producers, not realizing that it's all about connecting with the right people and getting in front of the right people and making sure. And this is the other thing too. A lot of people think that social media is something that it's only for young people. It's only for pretty people. And then it's too late. But remember, years and years ago, I remember growing up in my teens, and there was really only one standard of beauty. And she was 20 something, and she was a size 00, and her legs were 1 million feet long. And our standards of beauty were dictated by magazines and television, and that was it. And in those magazines and on that TV, you might have someone who might be super made up or super filtered or super photoshopped, and maybe they would let you know, but maybe there was no disclosure whatsoever. and you only had a certain amount of channels on that TV screen. And so really it was the advertising agencies who were telling you what was cool and who were telling you what was beautiful. But now what I love about social media, especially if you're listening to this and who knows, maybe you're at a place where you're no longer working, or maybe you're at that retirement stage, or maybe you're trying something new, or maybe you've never seen someone who looks like you or sounds like you or works like you on TV or in magazines. And now you look on social media and you can see beauty in every single size. You can see it in every single age and color and shape and pace around the world in a way that we've never been able to see that before. Because before, you needed that casting producer, you needed that production team, you needed that studio setup. Now, all you need is your phone. And I think that phones really get a bad rap. We say, oh, I hate that people are behind the screens, or I walk into the coffee shop and everyone's behind the screen. Would you be saying that if somebody was reading a newspaper? Would you be saying that if somebody was writing in a journal? Would you be saying that if somebody was writing a letter? Because now that's what we're doing with phones, all of those different things. But instead of bringing a massive book filled with books, we're able to do that and really, really quickly on our phones and at a rapid pace. And we're able to connect with people in a way that we never have before. And we can continue to complain and see all of the bad in it, but it's not like poison. It's not like alcohol. It's not like sugar, where it is actually and always poison. It's a tool. I like to say,
yeah, I think that's such an important point that you're making, that the connecting that can come with social media isn't a new thing. It's just a different way of doing something that we've always done. And in the context of career, being connected with a bunch of people helps almost any career, whether it's attracting jobs or clients or ideas. It's always been done. But it's still not an easy sell for lots of professionals to even get on LinkedIn. To me, LinkedIn seems so basic for so many kinds of careers. But I think I'm really having trouble with some of my clients because they got great jobs, they're happy, they don't see the reason to connect. If LinkedIn is such a hard sell, how can you make the case for people who are interested in their careers to do video and say, get on TikTok? How do people connect in an ordinary way on how would you start on TikTok if you were, oh, any kind of professional? What's the starting point?
Well, and that's the thing. If you would prefer to get on LinkedIn over TikTok, I'm totally fine with that. I like to say that when you hear me talking about TikTok, if you think that I'm only talking about TikTok, then you're missing the point. What TikTok did is what it put a massive sledgehammer on social media, primarily for two reasons, Bev. One is this concept of recommendation. What does that mean? Well, on every single platform, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube even, you open up your feed and no longer is it just people who you are connected with. No longer is it just people who you follow. Now what you're starting to see is people who you don't follow. Now what you're starting to see is not just posts in chronological order, meaning you're only seeing the most recent posts. You might see posts that are 2 weeks old, 2 months old, maybe even a year old. And that's relevant for a few different reasons. Number one, what it allows for you to do is it allows for your content, as long as it's public, to be seen by people who don't follow you and in a very hyper-targeted way. Why is that important? Well, you used to have to pay for that, Bev. You used to have to pay for advertisements and reach to be able to get in front of people who didn't know who you were. And so if you are in sales, if you are a brand new business owner, if you're wanting to expand your thought leadership, you're no longer having to work as hard or spend as much money or take as much energy to get your message in front of more people who it deserves to be in front of. So there's that. But then what TikTok also did was, for a moment, TikTok was only videos. And those videos were not filtered, and those videos were primarily created and meant to be consumed on your phone. What did that do? It equalized the playing field in that it allowed for people who didn't have the production teams or the filters or the Photoshops or the editing teams to be able to just use their phone and start talking. What that also did was it actually created this whole new level of trust where it felt like, because it was content that was created or meant to be on mobile, that, wait a minute, maybe this is actually more real. Maybe this person is actually just like me versus who knows how many people saw and felt and touched and scripted and produced this piece of content. And so what that also did was on our feeds where we used to connect primarily, maybe it was just over text or a two-dimensional photo, with video, it activated the part in our brain that allows us to feel more of that connection. And that's the thing, Bev, is that we've never been more connected as a society, but we've also never felt more disconnected. And I believe that the reason why we've never felt more disconnected is because the more majority of people who are consuming content are not creating content and they're not interacting. Studies actually show that those who are liking and commenting and creating content are actually more social offline and feel more connected offline than the ones who don't participate at all. And so I totally support, if you don't want to get on TikTok or if you don't feel like TikTok is for you, and honestly, we've seen a lot of headlines lately saying that TikTok may be no longer in the next few months, in which case, great, diversify and start on the platform that for you feels most comfortable. And so if LinkedIn feels more comfortable or Facebook feels basic enough for you to at least know what you're doing and start dipping your toe in, that's great. But what I also see with a lot of my clients is initially the excuse is, I don't like social media. I'm overwhelmed by it. There are too many things. I don't get it. But then what we all of a sudden start to realize is it's not actually that. It's that you might be afraid of looking like someone on social media who you don't particularly like. You might be afraid of coming off as egotistical or full of yourself or bragging about yourself. You might be afraid of trying something new and letting the world see you try. Because where you might be very advanced in your profession or feel like, you know what, my career is going okay, or you know what, I've already accomplished so much, it feels a little foreign to have this imposter syndrome and trying something brand new, and you're afraid of quote unquote messing up, or you're afraid of coming off like you don't know what you're talking about, or you don't know what to say, or you hit that record button and all of a sudden your soul leaves your body. And that's where I like to joke that personal branding is truly a form of personal development. It makes you see and acknowledge your insecurities, and it forces you to be accountable in sharing your story and connecting with other people and realizing where perhaps your online habits are a reflection of your offline insecurities. And that's where I like to dive in and explore and really figure out what does that look like? But what does a starting point look like? As I said, Bev, finding a platform that works for you, and then also starting to really check yourself and go, am I actually creating on this platform? Am I actually engaging on this platform? Or am I being passive? Am I consuming? Am I spending the bulk of my time comparing myself from a place of insecurity or judging other people for something that I am actually afraid myself to do? And then that's where we begin doing the work.
Well, I think one of the questions, let's put aside any particular platform. One of the questions people have is, can I do video? As you mentioned earlier, it used to be there was only one kind of beauty that was acceptable. Now there's lots of kinds, but it's not just about beauty. It's about, will they think I'm too old? Will they think I'm not dressed right? All of those kind of things. Is there something to be said for getting comfortable with video so that if you need to use it for like a resume, you're practice with it? Is there a way to kind of practice on video?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what I do love is the fact that all of us do have access to cameras now. And the way to practice is to start using it in your everyday life and figure out how often you can use it, whether it is taking FaceTime calls with your family instead of just calling them, or taking FaceTime calls with your friends instead of just calling them or texting them. Maybe it's jumping on Zoom for a meeting rather than a call. I also love the art of what I like to call one-to-one videos, which is when you create one video and you record it just for one person. And so that might be a video that you text to a client saying, thank you so much for that meeting today. I'm so proud of you. Or maybe you are wishing someone a happy birthday and telling them how much they mean to you. Or maybe you're just telling someone a really quick note, but it's an ability for you to record a video and practice. It's kind of like leaving a voicemail, but with a video. And those are just little teensy ways that you can get used to using video and also get used to using video with the idea of there is a person on the other side of that screen. We have to start training our brains because otherwise it turns into this accidental look at me, look at me, look at me, or you can't help but to look at your reflection and, oh my gosh, is that really what I look like today? Or you forget, your soul leaves your body, you don't remember your name, rather than remembering there's a person on the other side of that screen. And I might not know that person when you end up uploading it to the masses, or maybe this is someone who I have not met yet, but there is a human and there is a connection that is meant to be made. But there's another piece that I think is so important, which you mentioned, what if they think that I'm too old, or what if they don't like me? That's honestly a really, really deep practice because for so long we have walked into maybe a job interview or any type of a situation. Maybe it's even a date or maybe it is meeting a group of people and you want people to like you. I want you to shift that perspective instead of will they like me? Will I find people who are the right fit? And acknowledging that not everyone is going to be the right fit, and that's okay. Do you like every single person that you've ever met in your entire life? Probably not. And so you need to be willing to have that on the flip as well. Are there going to be people who think that you're too old? Yeah, there will be. And also there will be people who are going to go, oh my God, finally. I have never seen anyone like that before. Finally, I feel seen. Or you might be inspirational to someone else. Are there going to be people that think, oh my God, that is the most annoying person I have ever seen in my life? Great. And thank goodness for that, because that means that if you are not being yourself and maybe you yourself find yourself annoying, then you at least made that first video to start practicing to be a little cringe, as the kids say, and to start working on that muscle to figure out what your voice actually sounds like. Or maybe you are that fun and flamboyant and colorful and you're not, you know, for everyone and someone thinks that you're the most annoying person in the world. Great. Thank you so much for that, because that means that I am truly living out who I am authentically, which maybe you've never done in your whole life. And that's what I have found on video with a lot of my clients is as they develop more confidence online and maybe where they start to disregard the people who have been following them and putting them into a little box on Facebook for years and years and years, that might be the first time where they truly feel authentically themselves, when they are by themselves in a room with the camera, expressing themselves, speaking how they actually feel, having their opinions out there, sharing their business and their passions. And then all of a sudden that starts to show up offline too. Or I have the practice of, you know what, turn off your likes. Let's not refresh it every 2 seconds. Or you know what, why do you even follow that person? You don't even really like them, and unfollowing them. And all of a sudden that starts to show up in boundaries offline too, which is really, really awesome. And that's where, again, I just show and prove that, listen, you might think that what you need help with is social media, but really we get deep into personal development and figuring out where those voices of self-doubt are coming from so that you can be more confident speaking up, not just in front of your phone, but in everyday situations too.
I particularly like the idea that part of job interviews and all kinds of meetings and introductions are about finding a fit. It's so important if you're going for a job interview, not just that they like you, that you like them, that you're a good fit, that you work well together. And video can be a way to make a quick connection that would take longer in other situations. I do notice the trend of people requesting videos from job applicants. It feels like that's getting to be more common. Do you see video resumes becoming an important part of kind of career building?
1,000%. I don't believe that video interviews or applications or resumes are a trend. I really think it's going to be something that is here to stay. We're seeing that in so many different areas. We're even seeing that on dating apps now, where people are asking for videos, or they're saying, you know what, let's go on a FaceTime first before we go on a real date. Because you just want to know that that person on the other side really is who they say that they are. And it is a great way to save time and energy to figure out if it is a personality match. And so where you have a lot of these parents who are even telling their kids, oh my gosh, I don't want my kid to be on social media. Oh my God, I don't want them to be in front of the camera. These are actually really valuable and basic skills that are going to be affecting us in the future. And that's also where it's important as adults to really take a look at, how are you filtering yourself? How are you establishing this irrational level of perfection on camera? Because if you are adding a filter over your makeup, over another filter, and then who I see in person is nothing like what I see in that video or even in that photo. That's a thing, Bev, is that before it used to be that you could get a professional headshot, I don't know, once every 5 years and have that plastic. Your business card or your flyer. But now your photo follows you everywhere. It's your profile picture on your social media. Maybe it's a signature at the bottom of your email. Maybe it is on your business card and also on your website. And so gone are the days of having a headshot photographer who charges you, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars to get one picture in one outfit and one look and one super over airbrushed glam shot. Instead, what we want is branding photography. We want to figure out who you are. We want to figure out what your background looks like in your home or your office and what your personality looks like. And if you're someone who you change your hair color all of the time, you should be getting a new photo for that so that I can see, oh, you got purple hair now, or maybe you have some more grays now, or maybe you lost weight, maybe you gained weight. Take the fat photo. We think that photos are meant to make us look perfect, but nowadays photos are simply meant to be a reflection of what are you going to look like in person. And in a world where we see a lot of AI avatars, are you going to catfish me? Are you a true, real human on the other side? And great that you have wrinkles. Great that you have freckles. Great that you have, you know, dimples in your cheeks and moles or whatever that is for you. I simply want to know, what does that look like on the other side? Because we want to create trust from the jump. And even things like blurred backgrounds or green screens, those are ways that we're creating filters online. But then also it ends up transporting into real life too, where you might be someone here like, Giselle, I've never used a filter. What are you talking about? Great. Well, are there other ways where perhaps you're using filters, or you are putting off the thing that you need to do, or you're afraid of taking that meeting, or you don't like public speaking? All of these skills are going to be more and more and more important. And we need to get out of, it needs to be scripted, it needs to be perfect. Instead, it needs to be real. What are you like in person?
Yeah. And I think you make a good point that AI, in a way, is driving us to want to see real, authentic people. Even if we get a lovely letter from, say, a job applicant or something like that, we know AI could have written it because it sounds just like all the other lovely letters we get. So there is, I think, a sort of longing maybe for seeing actual people. And so we're going to be seeing video popping up in all kinds of ways, and maybe new businesses. And I'm fascinated how entrepreneurs kind of look at the trends and look at what they're doing and create a new business or a new concept. So I want to ask you about one that I just read about. I don't know about, but you've created a new business, haven't you? The talent brokerage that relies on video connections. Is that right?
Well, what I like to say is we have influencers who are professionals rather than professional. So what do I mean by that? Typically, when we hear the word influencer, we think of like a Kardashian, or we think of an Instagram person who has hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. But now, and especially what did happen with TikTok and during the pandemic, is you began to see a lot of professionals share the most boring of businesses and make them exciting and fascinating and interesting in a way that we've never seen before. So we have people like real estate agents or doctors or financial professionals or lawyers. And so what the talent brokerage has done is originally we represented exclusively real estate agents, but now we are opening that up to, again, the so-called boring businesses, which, again, I don't think these businesses are boring. I think they're actually awesome. But in many ways, they were maybe intimidating or unapproachable, or we didn't really know what or who was on the other side. And now you have these people who have put their faces to their names. And so people can reach out to us if they are looking for a speaker in those professional settings. You know, we go to conferences a lot of times for corporate brands that we work for or to simply better ourselves. But also, these are people who can coach you in your journey in your business, is putting a face to your name as well. And in many ways, we're kind of like a modern day consulting firm where we are both strategy and also ambassadors of your business. And so great if we can do a keynote at one of your events, but even better if we can help you to create a curriculum to keep your team and the momentum going after that. And again, it's just, it's one more stream of revenue too, because these people are professionals first. They have businesses that they run. They have teams that they lead. They have, you know, places that they need to go and meetings that they need to go to. They're not just sitting at home making videos. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I think content creators are amazing. But I do feel like we are in a world now where it totally makes sense and it's acceptable to have multiple streams of income. And why not work smarter instead of harder? And so that's what we've taught them to do, but that's also how we've immersed ourselves into businesses and creating this new way of looking at how content creation really can and should be taken seriously and be taken seriously by people who they themselves are the professionals who previously thought, oh, I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that. That's beneath me.
So what we're talking about, maybe we're going to see new kinds of talent marketplaces. Mm-hmm. And almost everybody has a side gig or another line. I mean, nobody seems to go through many years doing just one thing anymore. So the idea is that if you're giving speeches and you're doing some consulting in addition to maybe a day job, you need a way to share those things and bringing together associations or connections or businesses where people can look at the marketplace for whatever skill set they're looking for. That's something that's going to happen more in the future. And video is going to make it fast and easy. Is that right?
I mean, there's so many different branches and avenues that we could go down this, Bev, for sure. You know, there's the piece of if you want to continue to remain relevant and if you want your business to reach new heights, absolutely, video needs to be a part of it. You know, it's great if we can see a review or a cookie cutter website, but it's better when we can actually see the people who work with you and every day. And if we get a glimpse of what it's actually like to walk around your office or see the people behind it, you know, people want to do business with people. That's a cliche, mm-hmm. because it's true. They want to know what is going on behind that business. Who are we supporting? What do you stand for? But then absolutely, yes, there's that other piece of different ways that you can begin creating revenue. If you want, or if you have this call on your heart to extend your message to the world, whether that message is a new business that you want to create, or, you know, one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram is this woman, I'm totally blanking on her name, but she's in her 60s. And she's simply talking about what she's going through as an independent female at her age, but also lessons that she wished she would have known in her 20s and 30s and 40s and even in her 50s. And she's not necessarily doing it to make money, although she is, but she simply had this call on her heart of, man, I really wish I knew this when I was younger, or I felt like I had nobody to support me when I was single and without kids when I was in my 40s. It's offering a new perspective. I think that there is something really beautiful about the phrase, I wonder if I'm the only one who. If you've ever felt alone in that kind of a place, that might be a great conversation starter to have in person, or that might be a great conversation starter to have on LinkedIn or to have on Instagram, where you wonder if there might be other people who are feeling like you do or who dream like you do or who would like a place like you do. And that could potentially break the ice for something significantly bigger. But ultimately, you know, the way that our brains connect to people. First and foremost, being able to have in-person interaction, absolutely. And then beyond there, live interaction, which might be a real-time conversation that you're listening to, say, on a morning radio show, or listening to somebody talk to you and back and forth on Zoom. But the next best thing after that is video. And significantly beneath that is text. Can you still connect with someone over text? Absolutely. But if you have this opportunity at your fingertips and for free, why wouldn't you want to optimize on that? Why wouldn't you want to connect with more people and create in a way that we're sure, if you really want to go knock on 20 doors, go knock on 20 doors. And not but, and it's possible that if you turn what that information would have looked like into a video, you could end up having that video played to 20, 200, 2,000 people for maybe 2 hours, 22 hours, 24 hours. I love when I post a video before I go to bed and I wake up the next morning and Instagram says, this video has been played for 22 hours. 22 hours. You know, that's hands that I didn't end up shaking. That's, you know, conversations and small talk that I didn't need to have. And also trust that's being built while I'm sleeping to ultimately end up creating a connection or hopefully a client that I get to work with in person.
Well, you've got me interested in trying some more things. But so it feels like, I think we're about out of time, but if we have listeners out there who are wondering where to begin, it sounds to me like what you're saying, and this makes sense to me, is you think about what message you have. Do you have some information you want to share? Or if it's not information, do you observations about life? Do you have something that you want to share? In the context of career, do you have something that you want to sell? And then find a way that's most comfortable for you to just practice expressing it, and then put it on any platform that seems most accessible to you, and just get used to the idea of sharing your authentic self. Is that a good starting point?
Absolutely. And I would even take it a step further, because sometimes when we think, is there information that I want to share, it can be really overwhelming going, well, what do I want to share? So maybe it's thinking about, is there someone who you want to connect with? Is there someone who you wish that you could get in front of, or a type of people who you wish that you could get in front of? Or is there something that your younger self wishes that you would have known sooner? And that could be a great launching point. At the very least, what you could do is you could send a one-to-one video to Bev or to me saying that you listened to this. And maybe whatever your biggest takeaway was, or a good thank you. And maybe that is a great place to start too, where before you start sharing with the masses, it might be that one-to-one video, baby steps.
That's a good way to begin anything, Giselle. Thank you so much for being here today. I feel inspired to kind of play a little bit more with video and open my eyes a little bit wider to things.
Amazing.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Today we've been talking with Giselle Ugardi about how social media, and particularly video, can impact your career. This podcast is produced by WOUB Public Media. Adam Rich is our audio engineer. I'm your host, Beverly Jones, author of Find Your Happy at Work. And our sponsor is the Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service at Ohio University. Today's tip is that even a modest presence on social platforms can help your career. People are going to look you up online, and you're in a better position if you make the choice about what will show up. Thanks for listening to Jazzed About Work, and if you enjoyed the show, please spread the word.